Welcome to I'm Screaming, a podcast for anyone who's ever felt like shamelessly screaming at the top of their lungs over a moment in pop culture.
Because sometimes pop culture can be scary and you just gotta let it out. Let's scream about it together.
Take two. Hello, Megan.
Hi, Giselle.
Here we are. We've had some technical difficulties. We've had some chats, but we're here today to bring you another episode of I'm Screaming.
And I apologize to the people if you hear drilling in the background. I have, of course, on my work from home day, it's
chaos. The people don't want us to be great, but it's not going to stop us.
But we'll never be stopped.
We will never be stopped. lots to talk about today. Lots of big things, I suppose. Mm-hmm. The Met Gala, the first Monday in May, my personal favorite day of the year, happened. The Hotman bracket has come to a conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's still 3 hours left in the polls, but I don't see anything changing at this point.
Yeah, unless there's a giant surge of votes in the next 3 hours, I think we do know our winner.
Yes. Should we just talk about it now?
Yeah, let's start. Let's start with the Hotman bracket. So the Hotman bracket happened again. As you know, we talked about it last week. And we have our final four: Theo James, Ryan Gosling, Jonathan Bailey, and Henry Golding.
And Giselle just said it in the order. Like, that's the...
That is the order.
That's the 1, 2, 3, 4th place. Henry Golding, truly, always, like, making the final four, never winning, ever.
But I know, he's kind of an anomaly to me. We were saying this this weekend. Like, Henry Golding is everywhere and actually nowhere because, like, if you were to ask anyone, except for our friend Peter, if Henry Golding was their celebrity crush, like, I guarantee you they probably wouldn't say yes. But, like, everyone, like, he's just universally hot, similar to Michael B. Jordan. Like, they're just hot people, and I think the world believes that they're hot, so therefore they're always going to go far, you know?
It's just, like, a basic choice opinion to have.
Yeah, it's not a wrong opinion, but it's a basic opinion.
Giselle said, like, it's, like, you're lying, kind of, if you're saying that you're, like, that obsessed with him, because you barely know anything about him, and, like, he's just
The last thing he was in, I'm sorry, that you watched?
That I watched?
Or any of the people, but also you, Meg.
Well, he was in that Snake Eyes movie, but I didn't see it.
I think the last thing I saw him in was Crazy Rich Asians.
No, that's a lie, Giselle, because you saw him in Last Christmas with Emilia Clarke. I know you did.
Oh, you're right, and I saw him in the movie with Blake Lively and Anna Kendrick.
Actually, no, that's not the truth, Giselle.
Literally, get me together. Okay, fine. I saw him in two other films other than Crazy Rich Asians, but those were a long time ago, I think. Yeah,
and I saw him in The Gentleman, where he was doing this, like, ridiculous accent with, like, Matthew McConaughey that, like, kind of, like...
Okay.
That now, actually, was a show on Netflix starring Theo James, so...
I mean, Theo James, he was in it, the top four, last year, I believe.
He was.
He had a resurgence because of The White Lotus.
Yes, The White Lotus.
But Theo James has always been hot because of, you know, Divergent and, you know, just being hot in general. And, but he really has gone far. And I believe, as Meg said, he's a good man, I think. A family man.
I mean, he seems to be a good guy. We don't really know much about him. That's the thing. I mean, he's up against Ryan Gosling in this final, which, after seeing the way things were going, the whole bracket, like, makes sense to me. Because I think Ryan Gosling is in the middle of a bit of a renaissance.
He's having a moment.
In less of a he's super hot way. Remember, like, Ryan Gosling got second the first year in COVID?
Yeah.
Which felt really random. But Ryan Gosling was always, there was always that meme of Ryan Gosling. It's like, hey, girl, like, I got you, whatever. And, like, him in Crazy Stupid Love is, like, apex mountain hotness.
Right.
So I get it. But also, I don't think that, like, he is necessarily popular right now for being hot. It's, like, the Ken effect and his personality and, like...
And being in love with his wife.
He's everywhere right now. Yes. Yeah. But I do think, like, Ryan Gosling, Theo James is, like, spot the difference, right? Like, they're kind of the same. And, like, except for Theo James is British, which, literally, in my opinion, makes him hotter. So, like...
Agreed.
Because, like, Theo James is also, like, married, has kids, like, is just, like, a chill guy, so, like, and if anyone watched The Gentleman, he's gorgeous in that. I watched it, I loved it. So.
And then Jonathan Bailey.
And then Jonathan Bailey, who.
He won 2 years ago, correct?
He won 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was right after his Bridgerton season aired.
Right.
Which makes so much sense because, like, no one. Like, you know that I'm a big Bridgerton fan. Like, it comes out next week. Like, I'm so excited
to binge
the first half. Like, I can't wait. Personally, like, I don't think any leading man on that show will top Jonathan Bailey for me ever.
No,
like,
definitely
personally.
Not.
But he is just so hot. And, like, him at the Met Gala on Monday, him with the flower,
he's powerful. He's so
him
powerful.
Him being on whatchamacallit, Heartstopper.
Yes. Excellent choices.
Him, like, in the Matt Bomer show, he's just, like, him and Wicked, he's just, like, making all the best career choices, and, like,
yeah.
I think he is just, like, one of the best we have right now, personally.
I agree.
Because I think he's, like, a very wholesome, like, seemingly nice person, so, like,
yes.
Like, hell yeah, Jonathan Bailey, like, get third. He got second last year.
Right.
It was him and Michael B. Jordan in the final, and they had both, it was with the past two winners.
This is the first year Michael B. Jordan's not in the top four.
Which, like, not that Michael B. Jordan is not hot. He is so hot. He's one of the hottest men. But it is just a little bit more interesting if he's not in it.
Yeah, because he always wins.
But not to say that, like, the four men that are in the final aren't boring. Like, they are boring because they've all been in the final four before. So maybe we're going to have to do a little finagling next year. I don't know. Like,
I feel like maybe it's going to be a situation where, like, and you, like, I know how you girls like to tussle. Like, you've been in our comments.
Oh, yeah.
In our DMs. Y'all are tussling with us. But, like, maybe it's going to be a situation where, like, if you've won the Hotman bracket, you can't be in it again.
You can't be in it again.
Which would mean
we have to institute it.
No Liam. No Michael.
Bye.
Who's won twice. Michael B. Yes. Jordan's won twice.
No Jonathan Bailey.
And who's the
And
fourth?
Now no Theo James.
And now no Theo James.
I would do it. Listen, it's our bracket. We can do what we want.
We can literally do what we want. We can do what we want.
We've never had Chris Pratt in it because we hate him. And we've had people yell at us about that. And guess what? It's our bracket. We can do what we want.
He's a bad person. Who are your shockers, Meg, that you didn't see in, like, the top 16, the top 8? Who were you shocked about this year?
Let me look at my little list.
I have some thoughts. You girls will literally never let me be happy. Oscar Isaac is so hot, and you guys disrespect him every fucking year. Except for one year he was nearly eight, but every other year disrespected him. Pedro Pascal got a little farther than I thought he would, but then once again, he was disrespected. Adam Driver, I won't even start with you girls because you hate me, and I know.
Okay. Obviously, Harry, the top eight was Harry, Michael B., Lucien from Emily in Paris.
Hot.
And Paul Mescal.
Maybe yeah! Maybe eight,
love
that for
him. I think shows taste.
Agreed.
I really, really, really wanted him to beat Ryan Gosling, but I'm an impartial president or whatever we want to call it, like, overlord of the Hot Man bracket,
yes.
So I have to get good pictures of everyone. I think this is actually the first year that we didn't get a comment in the DMs that was like, oh, y'all did him dirty. Like, this is not a good photo. So,
every time I said, you picked excellent photos of everyone. Excellent, Meg.
Had to give everyone a shot. I'd say the top 16, Charles Melton made it in there.
Yeah, good for him.
Which is nice. Reggae Jean Page didn't make the Elite Eight. I feel like normally he does.
He's kind of flopping.
He is flopping because, like, where is this career that we were supposed to have
that you left
Bridgerton
for? Nowhere to be found.
Jacob Elordi, obviously.
I was honestly shocked he didn't go farther.
Top 16, yeah. Well, he was up against Michael B. He actually, that was a really close matchup. He, like, almost, that was really, really close. Richard Madden and Sebastian Stan, like, stay up there. And I'm just, like, wondering, like, they are so boring.
They're hot. Richard Madden especially. I'm like, who is he?
Well, he's definitely allegedly closeted, so...
Allegedly,
so that
would
make him more interesting to me, to be honest.
Agreed.
Him and his best friends that he lives with.
Him and his small gay men that he lives with, literally. yeah.
Literally living with Sam Smith's ex-boyfriend.
Literally. For, like, a minute. Yeah.
girls. But then we had Sam Claflin in the top 16.
I was loving that for him, actually.
Which, like,
Renaissance.
Only to be taken down by Jonathan Bailey. But it's like, last year, Daisy Jones had already been out.
Right.
When we did this. And he did not make it this far.
People have been marinating on him.
I feel like the Hunger Games Renaissance has happened.
Yes. Yes.
He's more in the public consciousness, like the Finnick O'Dare effect. And then Dylan O'Brien stays up there.
He stays. People
love Dylan, and he is hot. And but also, like, where is the career? What's happening?
Where is the career?
Where is the work, Dylan?
You can't just be hot, Dylan. I'm sorry.
We're waiting. We're waiting on the work. Where's the work? I have been shouting from the rooftop since I watched Teen Wolf that he's a great actor. So
right. And what was that trilogy he was in?
The Maze Runner, which they're rebooting for whatever fucking reason.
Oh, God.
The thing was, is that those books were, like, good enough, but were never really good enough to be made into movies. And then they were, and the movies were bad. I never even finished the movies.
No, I think I watched the first one.
But, like, the first book was interesting, but then it just, like, went completely off the rails. I mean, that Nick Cigar guy.
I think he's so cute.
He's so hot, and I think that was a case of, unless people are really watching these shows that he's on that I don't watch.
I mean, I think I was the only person that watched Mea Culpa.
Yeah.
So.
I actually pressed play on it one day, and then I got distracted.
You don't need to watch it. It's insane.
But also, Trevante Rhodes is in that.
He's hot. The men in that were hot. It's just that Kelly Rowland, I love you, my sister, but that was not your best work.
But that felt really like a moment of, like, people were just like, oh, I'm looking at this guy and, like, maybe I don't know who he is, but, like, he's actually really hot. And I love that. I love that for everyone. Austin Butler not making it as far as I thought he would. He's more annoying to people than
the accent. People can't get over it.
And then, like, Miles Teller in the top 32. I'm just like,
not for me. Not for me personally.
He's also, like, not good looking. I don't think.
For me, for Giselle, no.
And then, of course, you know, the beloveds, James Marsden, Pedro Pascal, Dev Patel.
Dev!
Mahershala all knocked out in the top 32.
Dev and Mahershala are very, I feel like, to me, always could be in the top.
Yeah.
Hot men.
I mean, Matthew McConaughey in the top 32.
Yeah.
Kind of timeless for people. They just, like, have very a timeless attachment. And I have to say, and, like, Peter probably doesn't listen to this, but if he does.
Chase Crawford. Forever. Nate Archibald, forever hot for people.
But he's really hot now. Like, he is looking good, aging well.
Yeah.
And, like, not that he's, like, old, but, like, aging really well.
No,
like,
but older. Like,
still looking good. So, I absolutely see you, Peter, if you're listening.
Yes, I understand you. But yeah, you guys, another hot man bracket down.
Oh, God. It was fun,
as always.
It was always fun. There were some new guys. I do think we're going to have to do something a little more interesting next year to make it, you know, a little bit different.
I think if Challengers would have came out earlier, Mike Feist would have gone farther. People love him.
Yeah. And then Josh O'Connor only made it one round.
I know, but even in that poll I did for the Met, like, it was, like, a lot more people were voting Mike Feist over Josh O'Connor, and I was shocked. Like, I'm genuinely shocked by that.
I think he looks great.
He does. I just kind of thought that Josh O'Connor had, like, the Paul Mescal effect, you know?
Yeah, but again, it's like, we're so online.
Yeah.
People, like, sometimes, like, the internet's boyfriend isn't necessarily, like, the public's boyfriend. You know
what
I mean?
Right.
It just goes to show you, once
so
again.
So interesting.
Yeah, we'll just have to say that, like, the Liam Hemsworth win was a COVID fever dream.
That was, I mean, I can't believe that actually happened.
And that was post-Miley divorce, too.
And also, like, I had a big fat crush on Liam Hemsworth, like, in my younger years. I get it. Yeah. But, like, to win the hot man bracket post-Miley Cyrus divorce. Crazy. Yeah.
Wild. Well.
And Aussie.
That's well, that. Yeah, the power of the accent.
Yeah. Okay, I added something.
Oh, amazing. Thank God. I totally forgot.
We have to talk. I mean, it just jogged my memory because I wanted to be like Nicholas Galitzine.
Nicholas Galitzine, which who did not make it far at all.
No, but like, I literally looked at Vera and I was like, if I would have seen this movie.
She told me it gripped you.
If I would have seen this movie before the Hot Man bracket and I could have voted for Nicholas Galitzine, he would have gotten all my votes. And I didn't. I was not a Nicholas. Like, I like him because I think he's funny. But, like, Nicholas Galitzine and the idea of you? Hot.
Yeah, of course.
It's like
Harry Styles cosplay.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, we always want our faves to play more gay roles. Of course. Always. But, like, with Nicholas Galitzine, like, I actually want him to play more straight roles. he really shined making out with Anne Hathaway for me.
I mean, Anne Hathaway never looked better. No one's ever looked better than she looks.
I mean, Academy Award winner Anne Hathaway in The Idea of You. I loved it.
I loved your review.
It's so important. Bring back romance. Bring back kicking your feet and giggling. Bring it back!
I really loved the scene where she, like, goes to... flies across the country to see him in New York, and they're in the hotel room. And he, like, orders the chicken tenders, and they're, like, he's, like, singing into the chicken tender. I mean, that's one thing that's, like, not historically accurate, because Harry Styles famously does not eat chicken, does not eat meat. I was at that show when the girl threw the chicken nugget on the stage,
and he
said, I don't eat chicken, I don't eat meat, sorry, threw it back.
Historically inaccurate content, but...
But yeah. Honestly, it's the only thing that would make him better for me, Harry Styles better for me, is if he ate chicken tenders.
Agreed. Like, chicken tenders, such an important meal to me. Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I gave it 4.5 stars. I don't care. I rate based off vibes. That movie was incredible. It will be on repeat.
I think it's so fun. I think it's it's just a delight. Like, again, bring back being silly, bring back fun, bring back romance.
Bring back movie stars!
I think the book, I didn't read the book, but I do know that in the book, we don't get the kind of flash forward that we get in the movie.
Oh, thank God, I needed that.
And I think, like, the movie knew what kind of movie it was, right?
Exactly.
It knew that it was for the girls and, like, not meant to, like, make us really think that much, right? No. And I saw someone tweet that, like, it should have ended when it cut to black. So, as Maggie Rogers' light on came on once again.
Maggie, I'm so happy she got a check from this film. Thank God. Correct.
And it cuts to black. And then it writes, like, slowly writes, like, 5 years later. Someone thought it should have ended there. And, like, I understand that. But also, like, this wasn't a prestige movie. Like, this was meant for fun. It was meant for happiness. It was meant to leave you with a smile on your face. And that's what the ending did. And
thank God. I would have been devastated.
Anne Hathaway, like, eating the girls up with her acting, too. Just really committing to the role. Like, that's what this needed, right? It did not need an actress who was just going to phone it in.
No.
And be like, oh, this is just a silly, like, fanfic movie. Like, who cares? Anne Hathaway said, I'm going to make history. She said, I'm going to do The Idea of You. I'm going to be Solène. And I'm going to do the damn thing and commit and immerse myself. And
she did it. Earned every single one of those $7 million.
I know, people being like, why is she paid so much more than him? It's like,
because she's the fucking Oscar. I'm sorry, like, I'm actually done with Anne Hathaway slander. We've said it a million times, but, like, I'm done. You guys are lame. If you don't like Anne Hathaway, you're lame. She's so fun.
I literally never abandoned my girl Annie, and I never will.
No, she's so important to me.
She has been there for us at every stage of our life.
Also, like,
she has never let us down.
The Princess Diaries? The Devil Wears Prada? The Princess Diaries 2? Please. Please.
Les Mis.
Les Mis. The best part of that movie. The best part, and I've seen the movie, finally. I've seen the damn movie. I hadn't seen it before. I saw the movie, so I know.
I've seen Les Mis, like, about 1,000 times. So I know. Such a Les Mis era.
I love that.
And...
I love that.
Yeah, very important. Very important to the culture.
Gabrielle Union, thank you.
Of course. Of course it was Gabrielle Union. Like,
of course it was.
Like, taste... Begets taste.
Yeah, Gabrielle Union has taste. Gabrielle Union looked at Nicholas Galitzine and said, you're the one. And I
Well,
that.
Annie in all her interviews is like, he walked in and we just knew. We just knew he was our Hayes Campbell.
Our Hayes, truly. I love him. Can't wait to see what Nicholas Galitzine does.
But, like, I'm so serious. Like, Harry Styles, I know he's in therapy. I need him to book, like, an extra session with his therapist this week.
Honestly, this was, like, Olivia Wilde, like, justice for her in this film.
Like, I mean, kind of, yeah.
Because, like,
she's not the first older woman that Harry dated, though.
No, and also, like, allow Olivia Wilde to be happy. She can be a great mother and also date the hottest pop star in the world.
Yeah, she did.
She fucking did.
She did the damn thing.
And we respect her.
And we respect her.
We salute her
for that. Yeah, no, we're, I mean, people who listen to this podcast know that we're kind of out on Florence Pugh. Yeah. And you have to think critically about these things, right? You have to think outside of the box and not just go with the media narrative.
Right.
And understand that, like, Florence Pugh, maybe the tables have turned.
The tables have turned. And also, like, dare to be happy. Dare to dream. Olivia Wilde dared to dream. She dared to love at however old she is. 40? Young!
Yeah, I think she's, like, 42 or something.
Young! She dared to love. And you know what? I respect her for that.
Olivia Wilde just turned 40 in March.
Yeah.
By the way, she was in her 30s dating Harry Styles. Goodbye. Get the fuck out of here. Get out of my house.
They wish it were them. They're haters. This is a hater free zone. Sometimes we're haters, but not for Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
We're about to be haters on a few things coming up, but
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so. Let's talk about radical floptimism, as Meg put it on our little sheet.
Just came to me. Funny.
You are a genius. Radical Optimism by Dua Lipa came out. And there's been so much discourse about radical optimism, about Dua Lipa, about her flopping, all in all. And I think that one of the most interesting takes to me, in general, about music right now, is, like, number one, are we reviewing albums too fast? I saw a lot of people talking about this.
The
answer is yes. And also, I need to acknowledge for myself that, like, this album, For Me, For Giselle, came out at the completely wrong time. Like, I needed this, like, in 1 month. I needed this in the beginning of June or July. It's just too soon for me. Like, I'm still digesting everything else. I haven't even had a chance to give it more than 2 full listens. Like, life has been lifing. There's so much music. And I don't even know if I think that, like, Radical Optimism, the body of work, is a flop, because I don't think I think that.
I don't think it is.
But the rollout and all in all is a flop. So, Meg, please tell me what you think.
No, I agree. I do not think it's a flop. I think that in a month's time, when we're back from our trip and the sun is sunning and we're sat at the beach and we're whatever, we're going to be bumping Radical Optimism.
Agreed.
And I say this as someone who is kind of spinning it. Like, I'm listening to Happy For You. I'm listening to Falling Forever.
Incredible song.
I'm listening to End of an Era.
Great song.
Title
tracks smashes as well, single.
It's just like the thing we said this about Dua Lipa. She's just boring.
Yeah,
it's the thing. So, and also, like, I think she said this in an interview where it's like she doesn't necessarily want her music to be, like, dissected the way we dissect Taylor Swift music, the way we dissect even Beyonce, like, where you know, it comes with all of this kind of built-in homework a little bit that we're, like, happy to do. Mm-hmm. And even with Ari, like, everyone's like, what's one of who's that's about Dalton, it's about Ethan Slater, like, whatever. And I think, like, I think Dua Lipa saying that is, like, silly, but also I do think, like, I don't care who these songs are about, so you kind of have to just, like, absorb them and, like, make it up on your own kind of thing, which like is fine. But I think that takes a little bit more time, again, like, to, like, actually, like, form a connection to a song. And I think Dua Lipa's music has always, specifically Future Nostalgia, has always made me feel, like, nostalgic for a time in my life, right? Like, where I think it came out at the exact perfect time.
We needed it.
Somehow in COVID, like, we really needed it. And as you said, I just don't think we necessarily need this album right now. I know, like, literally this is the opposite of what we said last week, where it's like, we need radical optimism. Like, yes, we need radical optimism. We need optimism in the world. Yeah. But, like, this album isn't going to save the world.
Yeah. We love Dua. Like, I do love Dua. And, like, I do think that, like, you know, we always joke about how our girl, Charlie XCX, is like, where's the artistry? Like, Dua is a girl who makes fun music. Like, and I think she's good with that. As you said, like, she just wants to make a song that's gonna get you dancing. And maybe that's okay, I guess. You know, like, not everyone, I suppose, is trying to say something, you know?
No, totally. And I think everyone thus far this year has been trying to say something a little bit, right? Like, even you look at Maggie and Casey, it's like, there's so much in there that you're just kind of like, oh, wow, okay, like, I could discover this song over the course of 6 months, right? And, like, really unpack it and really, like, it could hit me at a certain time. That's not really going to happen with Dua Lipa's album. Like, it's going to be more like, I'm going to be out in July one night and I'm going to hear, like, What You Doing or whatever. Yeah, and I'm going to be like, oh, yes, like, come on, right? So, it's, yeah, I just, again, it's not the right time. I agree. Like, if it had come out in June. But this is why people are saying it. Charlie's kind of eating the girls up.
Yeah.
With this rollout, the whole thing, the fucking chaotic shit in Brooklyn last week where she, like, had the listening party and then she was, like, at the club and the whole big green painted wall. Like, it's all just, she knows her audience. She's catering to her audience. She's not trying to be someone she's not. And I'm not saying that Dua is trying to be someone she's not. Like, Dua is being Dua. But I think there was an expectation around Dua after Future Nostalgia did so well and had the album had such a long life, that this was, you know, that she was going to be, like, the apex mountain of pop girls. But the thing is, in that time since Future Nostalgia came out, we've gotten, like, 7 Taylor Swift albums.
Yeah.
And, like, even Positions came out after Future Nostalgia, you know what I mean? Like, and Beyonce, we've had Renaissance, and we've had Cowboy Carter, and I think Beyonce and Taylor are just, like, up at this other level now, and Dua, like, I think wanted this big moment, big comeback, and in the midst of everything else going on, all the girls putting out music, it's just not the one that's catching attention, and it's not the one that's interesting, and I think it's because Dua is, God bless her, a little bit boring. But again, Future Nostalgia came out at a time when we had nothing else to do.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think you're so right with, like, all the girlies, like, you know. And the boring part is really, to me, the main thing. It's like, Ari, we had to wait a long time. But, like, Ariana Grande, for as chaotic as she is, like, there's shit going on there. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of chaos. There's drama. There's reasons we want to listen to the album, like, you know, she's dating SpongeBob, and so therefore she's saying fuck you to all of us, and here's the album, here's the concept album, you know, like, the Wicked of it all. And it's just, I totally agree on the Charlie thing too. Like, Charlie XCX is for the gays and the theys and us, and you know what, it's right, it's correct, it's just correct.
And again, correct. She is not ever trying to fit another mold, right?
No.
And I think Dua has a lot of interference from the powers that be that are, like, fueling her career a little bit, that because she doesn't have necessarily a vision herself. It's a bit industry-led. So, like, you know. Yeah.
What do you think Billie's going to fit into all this? I'm not really a Billie girl, so, like, I don't understand if people are hyped about this album, but
I think people really love Billie Eilish. And I don't dislike Billie Eilish, and I have absolutely come around on Billie Eilish in terms of her music as well. I am not going to have time for this album. I already know it. I'm going to be away for the first 2 weeks it's out. And so maybe at some point in June I will discover that album, but I'm not going to be spending time on it when it comes out, unfortunately. And I do think in general, like, Billie has enough of a fan base, like, a massive fan base, to to just, like, have a hit record, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think, like, she's necessarily going to be, like, winning new fans with this one. You know what I mean? I think this is just, like, another, like, standard Billie Eilish album. I mean, it's only, like, her third album or whatever. So, same as Dua, which is crazy.
I know.
So, and I mean, Happier Than Ever, like, I don't know how, compared to When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? I don't know if it was, you know, the massive hit that people were expecting. I think it did pretty well, but
I feel like it had that one, like, I never heard about you on the internet. That song.
That's
like
the title track, Happier Than Ever.
Yeah.
And it had, like, that fun build. And I listened to that album, and there are some, like, great tracks on it, like, album. But the rest of them really, really, really feel like album tracks to me.
Yeah.
Like, not, I mean, maybe they popped off on radio, some of them went on radio, but I
and only you know a lot I of them because I the Barbie listened to the song. Album. It wasn't, I wasn't streaming the Barbie song by from Dua. I was streaming Speed Drive, personally, for me.
But, or the Barbie song from Billie. Both of them had Barbie songs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I wasn't streaming that Barbie song from Billie. Yeah. But, like, the world loved it.
Yeah.
So
oh my
I
God,
just
obsessed with it.
So I just don't know. I guess I understand how famous she is and how, like, huge she is and that she has a huge fan base. It's, like, similar to how I feel about Lana. Like, I'm not a Lana girl, but, like, I know the girls go crazy for Lana. You know?
Yeah.
Who also, I guess, is coming out with an album.
In September, yeah. Country album.
Interesting. Okay, well, I guess moving into the Met, which a lot of these girls were at. General thoughts and feelings, Megan, on the Met Gala.
Speaking of radical floptimism.
Yeah.
It was a flop. It was a total flop.
There were literally no looks that swept me off my feet and gagged me. Like, and I love Zendaya so much, and, like, the looks were good, but, like, those, she's gagged me before.
Yeah, and that's maybe, I, like, Zendaya looked amazing because she can wear anything, and I think, like, obviously was one of the better dressed of the night, but I think that was, like, my initial reaction to the first one. I like the second look a lot better. But I think that was why my initial reaction to the first one was, it's a miss for me. Because, again, it didn't wow me.
Yeah. I don't know what it made. The girls, like, couldn't get with the theme. Like, they could, like, I just, there was no creativity. Like, everyone was, like, just giving me boring dresses. Or, like, I love a floral more than the next person. But, like, even the interpretations were, like, lazy to me. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of people, like, loved Tyla's, like, Sand of Time dress, which, like, I did like it, but also, like, it was a little too literal with the sand literally on her shoulder and her arm. I was like, not this. And, like, the color was boring to me, so I was like, meh. Taylor Russell, of course, we love. Lots of Loewe on the carpet.
I wouldn't say all of it was great, though.
No, I am so disappointed. That was literally so heartbreaking to me. Because it didn't fit her properly. I saw it from the back, and some people were like, it's supposed to hang like that. But, like, with that much money and time.
But it just didn't. It should didn't fit. Right. It didn't sit right. Even if they technically are saying it fit or was fit. Like, it didn't. It wasn't properly fitted. Like,
no, and it just
to
was
look well.
Ugly. I'm sorry. And I love Loewe so much and Jonathan Anderson. But, like, that was not it for me, personally. And even, like, Ari's pearl dress was, like, they were just boring. Like, everyone was safe. Everyone was boring. No one went there. Like, we're just missing some of our heavy hitters.
So many people were, like, talking about how it's, like, oh, well, this is my interpretation of it. Like, and that's what you're supposed to do, right? But, like, there was so much reliance on, like, my style. Like,
yeah.
I do think the girls are so attached to, like, what... And obviously, like, yes, wear something flattering. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, what they feel super comfortable in and, like, 100%, I do... And I'm not saying, like, the way fucking Kim Kardashian did it with the corset. Like, buy her, fuck her, literally hate her. But... I think it's like step out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know? This is the place to do that, is at the Met Gala. It's, you know, If you would wear it to the Oscars, do not wear it to the Met Gala.
If you wear it to the Grammys, Camila Cabello.
The end. Period. The end. Like, you have to take a little bit of a risk, and like, it's just, I don't know. It was just so boring to me, and like, Anna Wintour came out and was like, I apologize for the theme being confusing. But it's like, me doing like a 30-second Google, I, you know, figured out that like, the exhibit is Sleeping Beauties and the theme is Garden of Time based on this short story or whatever it is. Like,
a quick Google.
And then just read it. Like, think about it. I mean, when there were people there who had thought about it and had like, actual like concept, like Lewis Bad Hamilton Bunny. Talking about Bad Bunny, Lewis Hamilton, I don't know if you saw him talking on the red carpet about his look, like there was research put into it, there was thought put into it, and he had an answer for it, and then it's like Kim Kardashian is just like, oh, it's metal, like,
right, and some people were like, oh, I saw Kendall Jenner was like, I reawakened this old look. It's like, what? That is not a concept. Reawakening a vintage look by just putting it on is not actually the fucking theme. I'm sorry.
Right, like, that's the exhibit. That's what the exhibit is having these, like, old, like, delicate pieces on display, like, reawakening them, right? So I guess, I get it, whatever, but it's, like, it's from the 90s.
Yeah, no.
Like, that's, you know, like, it's not, like, I don't know. I'm just, like, I'm so tired of the laziness and, like, I do feel like the Met Gala is, like, majorly in its flop era.
And, yeah, it's definitely flopping.
And I just think there was, like, so much you could do with it. I actually, like, Doja Cat is not for Megan, like, at all.
Yeah.
But I actually think, as much as, like, her look wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
Anything, yeah. But I actually, like, heard her talking about it, and I was like, okay, you tried something.
Yeah.
You tried something. You tried to be on theme. You tried to be thoughtful about it. And, like, I respect that more than I respect someone who, like, Kendall Jenner, like, pulling it, you know, oh, it's never been worn before because it was only worn on the mannequin. Okay, like, cool, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like we haven't really seen incredible show-stopping looks since the...
Heavenly Bodies.
Thank you. Heavenly Bodies. Yeah. Heavenly Bodies will go down in history. That was so deeply iconic. Like, Zendaya in the Joan of Arc look, Rihanna in the Pope look, like... R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman. Exactly. Like, these looks are things that are ingrained into my mind. But that's what I'm saying about Zendaya. Like, the Joan of Arc look, the Cinderella look with Law. Like, even camp, like Lady Gaga coming out in four different outfits.
Yeah. Like, I don't even remember what the theme was.
Katy Perry and the hamburger.
Literally. I said that. I was like, we're missing Rihanna. We're missing Blake. Gaga. We're even missing Katy Perry. Of course we're missing Blake Lively. Like,
We're missing the girls.
Yeah.
The Met girls. And I felt their presence being gone. Even my, like, the Met girls that were there, Cardi B, who always comes out and shows out, it was boring to me. Just the black dress that was big.
Yeah. Gigi's was, like, good.
Gigi's was fine, but it wasn't.
The more
I see it,
the more I'm just like, this actually isn't interesting.
No. Literally. I was so sad.
And then it's like J-Lo and Chris Hemsworth co-chairing and showing up like that. It's so annoying.
I have to speak about the flop of all flops to me, like the Chloe girls. Like, the point, I'm happy for Chloe and I'm happy for the new creative director and I'm excited for what she's going to do. But the Met Gala is actually not the time to just show your previous collection and use it as an ad for it. I hated that.
Yeah, no.
It was bad. Also, one that is growing on me the more I look at it is Davine.
I really shitted
on the Gap of it all, but actually, I think it's kind of iconic.
Gap, you will always be famous.
Gap, you will always be famous. Zach Posen, you did that. Because I actually saw a video of him talking about it, and, like, I was like, okay, no, Zach Posen. And, like, I love that he picked Davine, and, like, her face card literally never declined. She's so fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
And she looked amazing, and it just, like, I love designers designing things that, like, look beautiful on, like, curvy bodies, like, slay. So, love that, actually. She's getting more points for me. The back of Mindy Kaling's look was better than the front to me. It still was Wrinkle in Time cosplay, but fine.
I mean, I think it was more on theme than a lot of the other ones.
Yeah.
But, like, and I think Vera said this, but, like, it was kind of wearing her, and I agree with that. So, like, you know, on someone else. I mean,
Emma Chamberlain
was
good.
There was a Vogue, I think it was Vogue, TikTok, that was, like, some Vogue staff, like, looking back at, like, the girl, like, ranking the girls' different looks over the years. And it was, like, Rihanna. But it wasn't Rihanna in the...
Was it the one where she's in the China one?
Yeah, maybe.
The yellow.
And then it was, like... Yeah, and then it was, like, Duo when she co-chaired.
Duo flopped for me, too.
Taylor when she co-chaired. Gaga. It was just, like, the girls, you know, like... And yeah. I was looking through... And even, like, all of them were more interesting than stuff that was, like, done, you know?
Yeah. It was such a boring... Such a boring, lackluster Met, which is so sad for me because I love the Met. But, yeah, I can admit when it was a flop. Floppiana.
Absolutely a floppiana, unfortunately. I mean, it's just...
Not one standout.
Yeah.
Not one.
Also, like, just in the midst of it, it's like, at least wow us. In the midst of, like...
If you're going to do all this when all this shit is going on in the world...
Yeah.
Like, give us something to...
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Anna, I mean, you... it's time. I'm sorry. Like,
it's time.
Maybe it's blasphemous, but, like, they need new blood in American Vogue. Mm-hmm. Like, British Vogue... Edward, I know, has moved on. You know how passionate I am about Edward Einfuhl.
Yeah.
And he has stepped down from British Vogue. Now he's working on Condé Nast, Vogue Global, which, like, we love. And Chioma, who used to be at American Vogue, is now heading up British Vogue. So, like, British Vogue is always slaying for me. But they need new blood in American Vogue. Anna Wintour, I'm sorry, sister. Like, it's time. It's, like, and while you're still ahead, which is barely.
Yeah, literally.
But I can't, I mean, I think that shakeup is imminent. And whenever it does happen, I'm excited for it.
Like, the fact that she came out and apologized for any confusion that the theme caused, like...
No, like, just
be serious.
Be serious!
There's always an exhibit title and a theme.
Right.
Like, always. Isn't there... That's every year.
Yes, every year.
I can't either.
So, yeah, flop, a little bit of a flop, a lot bit of a flop for us, which sucks. But I guess we'll try again next year. We weren't looking camp right in the eye this year, were we?
No, but did you see that someone yelled that at Carly Kloss? And she was like, at least she has a sense of humor about it. But
looking camp right in the eye. God, that killed me. Not everyone was giving camp, but that was funny. Also, like, Tracee Ellis Ross, where was she?
Oh, yeah.
Janelle Monáe also didn't even give me, like...
Yeah, and she was, like, there late, I feel like.
Yeah. Nikki looked a mess.
I really liked Ariana's performance look.
Me too. I was like, why is this eating her first look up? What is happening?
Bad decisions. Like, iconic for her that she performed.
And, like, sounded great. Like,
yeah.
If we are one thing.
We're really back with her.
We're Arianators. We are Arianators.
We were hating.
I mean, we will admit.
Listen, you gotta hold your faves accountable for flop behavior.
As Meg said last week, Eternal Sunshine is still being
staying. Treated daily for me. Staying.
The title track is actually really my current favorite.
It's actually really grown on me.
So good.
And I was in Solid Core on Monday, and they played Ordinary Things, and I was like, exactly.
Exactly.
Feet Nona.
Nona, collect the check, sister. I love it. Nona getting a feature before Frankie Grande will always be iconic to me. Frankie crying in the corner, actually, but fine. It's okay.
Frankie found dead.
Literally. I'll be fucking sat for Wicked. I can't wait.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
I can't wait. Giving me
even
hope
if it's
and,
even if it's tragic.
Giving me hope and joy.
Yeah.
Okay. Final thing, quickly, because we have to mention it because it's been taking over the world. Is
yeah. But I definitely cannot. I feel like I cannot contribute to this conversation in a meaningful way. I'm just an observer, 100%.
I mean, this is so. I am the pop culture guru in my household, but
yeah.
But for this one tiny little, he ate this one little thing. Tim ate this one little thing because Tim, if you don't know, people know, he's my boyfriend, and he cares deeply, deeply about the rap beef that has taken place between
Kendrick really Lamar
and Drake. And he has, at every turn, educated me on the history, and every song that comes out, I get a prompt text when, and I have to sit down and listen to the full song with pauses to explain each lyric. So I feel as though I am well versed on what's going on. But basically, for the girls, TLDR.
The girls are fighting.
The girls are fighting, and it's like not a cute fight actually. It's like kind of like
actually
a dark
incredibly
fight.
Dark and sick and twisted.
Yeah, like it started off like okay, like hee-hee, like Drake, Kendrick, and J. Cole are like the big three rappers, but then Kendrick was like, no, it's just Big Me, like I'm the only one, and then Drake like was like, no, actually, like you're a Floppiana, drop and give me 50 push-ups. And then Kendrick was actually like, no, you are trash and you're a pedophile.
And you have a secret daughter.
You have a secret daughter, and like your mom should be ashamed of you, and Adonis should be ashamed of you, and like you and all your friends are like, it's just.
Friends are talking to me. You have like, I have spies in your inner circle. Like.
And then Drake was, like, you know, saying that Kendrick Lamar, like, is a bad dad and, like, abuses
beats
his
girlfriend, baby mama. Yeah.
And then his best friend is, like, has a kid with his baby mama. Like, all these things. It's just insane. But it's, like, going back and forth in the music. They're dropping diss tracks upon diss tracks 5 minutes after one another. So much to be said about this. As Meg said, I don't know if we are the correct people to give a full, in-depth debrief on
the rap. We're following it, though. We're just trying to remain educated on this, I think.
We can say that the general consensus, I think, is that Kendrick Lamar won.
Yeah. Oh, he won, like, before Drake even did the response, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about Kendrick Lamar is that, like, we lest we not forget, the man has a Pulitzer Prize. The only rapper to have a Pulitzer Prize. The man is lethal with the words. He's a really great rapper. And Drake, obviously very famous, but, like, when Kendrick goes on his shit, it's kind of hard to...
Yeah, no. I mean, in terms of popularity, or mainstream popularity,
yes.
Drake has Kendrick there, but that's it.
Right, right.
And I think even now with this, it's like, you know, Kendrick obviously has, like, three of the top songs in the world,
literally,
whatever.
And they're good.
And they are good. Jasmine played Not Like Us yesterday
in
class, and it was fast as fuck, but it was fun to spin to, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, it's been fascinating to watch. It's been fun to be on social media.
Yeah.
It's gotten, as we've said, darker as it's gone along, because it's just kind of like, with Kendrick, it's like, he's already dead. Like,
yeah, literally, like,
step up.
Like, okay, let's like, let him breathe, maybe.
But yeah, I mean, it's crazy to kind of see a real life, you know, this
massacre.
Happen. Like, but like half be like, you know, I feel like the whole internet, especially, is like really tapped into this, and I feel like a lot of people have said to me this week, like, y'all, you following this Kendrick Drake stuff?
When you
and
can
I'm
get
like,
the girls,
yeah.
When you can get the girls to pause the Torture Poets Department, you know.
The Swifties are on TikTok explaining this.
Yeah,
the
like, you
they
know
are
that something
in
is up.
It.
They caught a stray, Loki. So the Swifties caught a stray in the beef.
I mean, but Jack Antonoff, like, clearly Taylor has chosen a side.
She said Kendrick
stan.
We
absolutely
blood.
We said bad blood.
I mean, Kendrick really has the two big guns on his side, B and Tay. So good for him.
Absolutely, he's at Electric Lady at those parties in the summer.
Yeah,
that's where he met Jack Antonoff, and then Jack produced the track. It's like, it's the joke is that like. Within the Swiftie community is that wherever drama is, Jack Antonoff is not far behind. Like,
and
he is a messy bitch who loves drama, and this only further
proves it. When I saw he produced this, I was like, that's all you need
it's
to know.
Actually really funny that he produced it. Like what are you doing here?
What's going on? That's really what I felt. But yeah, I guess
Ariana, what are you doing here?
I definitely feel like there's more to come, but as of right now, it's a bit quiet.
The lull. But this is where Kendrick has been hitting us when we least expect it.
Like tonight, like in 5 minutes, who knows what could happen? But yeah, you guys. That's all she wrote.
Good one.
Another Hot Man bracket in the books. Thank you, Megan.
My pleasure.
For your service. Always, always giving to the girls selflessly. We will see you guys next week, I believe. Yes. But then we will be going on a little hiatus, right?
Yes. I presume we'll be gone for at least 2 weeks. Well, we'll definitely be gone for at least 2 weeks, maybe three.
Yes.
So we'll catch you early June.
The girls are going to Europe.
Euro girl summer.
So yes, we will catch you all up next week, and then we'll be back for all of our shenanigans in June. Which will be many. Always. But we love you all so much. Thank you for listening. But most importantly, love you, Meg.
Love you, G.
Truly, like my birth control alarm going off.